Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolutionary.org Hardcore 2.0 is coming your way. This is episode 169. Today we're going to talk about more top Evolutionary.org logs and reviews. This is going to be the part two by Europharma. And if you haven't checked out 168, go back and you can listen to that as well, where we talked about logs in that one as well. So this one, we're going to go over loggers who have a very diverse background and goals. They've shown amazing improvements over months, and they are supported by the Evo family. And they've been doing a fantastic job. But first, let me remind everybody, we are on Spotify, we are on Apple, we are on different platforms out there. If you want us to continue this podcast into the future, you've got to do your part. You got to smash the like button on these platforms. You got to subscribe. You have to post some reviews. You have to give us some stars, some 5 stars. On these podcasts, so we can get some traction, we get the algorithms going, and we can help grow the podcast where we want it to be in the future. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to continue this. We're going to not be able to keep providing you this amazing information. We're not going to be able to continue educating and spreading the knowledge that is needed in this industry that is controlled by a very, very select few of fitness influencers, and frankly, lots of bad information going out there. So we want to spread the good information. So let's get into it, Mobster. Let's bring you in first. Why log in the first place? Give us your opinions and thoughts on that.
So we recorded a show recently, and these log shows have been very, very popular. So I'll repeat a little bit of some of the information that we've given out there regards logs. Okay, Steve and I have run some kind of training diary, either on paper, via a PC or handheld or via our phones, and certainly online for a very, very, very long time. And the example I gave the other day, Steve, is I can probably find, I don't have every single training log ever, but I think I've got some of the really early ones, nearly 30 years ago. And just being able to go back and look at where I was versus where I am now is a great example. And let me use this analogy. One of the things that I sometimes do, and this is about me improving on where I am today, is I'll say, oh, yesterday was a horrendous workout, Steve. And then you go, I had someone on another forum, a grip-related forum, say, your worst workout would be my best workout ever. And I say, ah, it's all relative. I want to improve on where I am. So here's the use. For me, and that applies to all those listening and, of course, those people that are running these logs. You can have, arguably, Steve, the worst genetics or the best genetics. You could be the skinniest, hardest-gaining ectomorph that's ever existed in all of humankind, for all of human history. And we will try, and I say we, I mean Steve, myself, the moderators, helpful members on the forum to get you to add some muscle, whether that with PDs, whether that's with nutrition, whether that's with training, or whether that's even with lifestyle, Steve. And you could also have the best fucking genetics. You could be the absolute next freak of freak, Mr. Olympia. You're going to win 10 times. You're going to be the Lenda Murray of male physique winners. You are going to be you're going to be up there with Arnold Schwarzenegger. You're going to be a legend. And I would like to think that we will help you cut out, even with those great genetics, every single fucking mistake you could possibly make. Overtraining, over dieting, too many PDs, whatever else, because you have such great genetics. So here's the thing. Look at Steve and I again, and I'll just use us as an example, Steve. I absolutely guarantee the listener that you and I have probably wasted a minimum of 6 months to a year over our training careers, over the length of time that you and I have been working out, when we were pissing around, doing stuff we shouldn't have been doing, overtraining, under-eating, doing all the stuff that young men do, staying up too late, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and missing out on opportunities to make the best gains, to another 3 or 4 pounds of muscle tissue, more than you and I have right now. to be the leanest that we could have been earlier, and so on and so forth. So there is that. And then I think there's even an argument, Steve, and this would apply to people that are competing and are cutting, for example. There are going to be days when you are struggling. You are hungry. You are tired. You are so carb depleted. There's legendary stories out of people done crazy shit when they're carb depleted. Your head is all over the place. And they come onto the forum for 5 fucking minutes. And metaphorically, we have your back. We know that we've been there. We've seen it. We've done it. If I haven't, Steve has. If Steve hasn't, someone else has. And I would just focus on the end goal, motherfucker. It's a week to go before competition. Yes, you're going to be hanging out your ass, but you're hanging out your ass because you are putting your foot to the floor, doing your absolute damnedest to win this competition. That pro card is just within reach. Stay on the path that you're on right now. Think of nothing else for the next 7 days. And next weekend, you'll be coming back and posting up your pro card picture of your first place trophy. So, yeah, Steve, look, there was enormous value, not just for yourselves, but also for the people that you were influenced. And I said this on the other show, Steve, just to finish. If you can, again, have the worst genetics or the greatest genetics, you could be trying to get lean. You could be trying to put on weight. You could be trying to add an inch to your arm, take 3 inches off your waist. You will find a log, because we have lots of logs, hundreds of logs, where someone like you has done exactly what you want to do right now. And you will benefit by coming and seeing this person, your height, your weight, your body fat, your age, or any of the above. And you will learn to cut out the mistakes. You will learn whether it's easy or hard. You will see what they've done. You might learn stuff like how to do an exercise better. You might learn a little tweak. You might cut weeks or months off your progress and get there much quicker because you found someone just like you who's already been on that journey. And you can literally almost see, but not quite, copy and paste what they're doing into your program. The last example is, we see this with the diets and the food pictures. The people that have logs get ahead of those that do not. The people that put up their exercises with the sets, the reps, the weights, get ahead of those that do not. But especially when it comes to diet, Steve, the ones that are posting photographs of their food can be a little bit boring, but the ones that do must, almost because they feel like they must because of us looking at their logs, put up good, clean, healthy food. And guess what, listeners? Those that put all that stuff together, but especially the food, especially the diet, seem to have the best results. So it's almost worth having a log, just because if you do, the outcome ends up being better than if you do not. And I say that because you can literally come onto the forums and see what I'm talking about and prove me wrong.
One of the differences on evolutionary.org than what you're going to deal with on social media. Social media, you're just going to be dealing with a lot of jealousy, hatred, negativity. And that's what social media is. Everybody on social media is looking for trouble. Everyone on social media is looking to pick a fight. It's really sad the way, you know, we've kind of treated each other on social media. You're not going to ever see this person, so you just feel like when you go on there, you can just attack them. And look, this has been going on from the start. I can remember when I had dial-up the first time. You've got mail on AOL. I used to go into sports forums, and people were just nasty and nasty to each other. You'd play games with people, and they'd say, "Eat your shit, asshole," after they would beat you in a game of chess or checkers. So people do this shit all. It's been going on since the internet started. And look, at the end of the day, it's getting nastier and nastier. You have these dickwads running these social media companies, these mega companies, and that's what gets the clicks. That's what gets the action, is the negativity and the trolling and being assholes to each other and putting each other down. So stay off of social media. Come on evolution.org, post up your pictures. You're going to get a different environment. You're going to get positivity. When you post a log on Evo, no matter where you're at, you're going to get love, you're going to get encouragement, and you're going to be pushed so you can get the best out of your situation. If you do that on social media, people are going to put you down. No matter what you look like, people are going to put you down. You know, you can look like an absolute stud and be number 10 Mr. Olympia, And you could post a picture in there and people will say, oh, you look like shit, dude. You look like shit. You're fat. Your veins, you're an alien, you look like a freak. So they're going to always look at everything in a negative fashion. So if you come on Evolution, it's going to be a completely different environment. And our forum is the best forum out there. All these other shitty forums out there, people are negative. People are assholes. They're bullies. They don't even have real pictures of themselves. Our leaders on the forum, myself, Mobster, the other reps, the other mods, they all have pictures of themselves. They
That's
all have
new,
their,
yeah.
they have their, they have their own logs. So they're not hiding behind a keyboard and talking trash out of their, mom's basement, like you've
Steve, you, Steve, you, you and I, and this is just for the listeners again, you can literally see what we're doing when it comes to training. I train 4 days a week. So 4 days a week, I'm posting what I do. You can see daily what Steve does, whether it's fasting, eating, meals that he's prepped, recipes that he's come up with. That's us. That's not some AI. It's not some fake name. It's not some fake profile. It's not us pretending to do something like that. It's literally me and him doing that stuff. And this goes right across the spectrum that Steve described. All the moderators, all the reps, everything. If they have a log, it is them that's posting, not by some pseudo profile, fake name, bullshit, whatever else. It's literally us. I've been using the Mobster handle for close to 30 years, Steve, probably more 30 years as we do this, since I've been online. I think certainly since, I'm going to say 2000, so 25 years, I've been using the handle across multiple forums, some version thereof. So if you see that online, it's almost certainly me. And therefore, the idea that I could somehow get away with the bullshit that I might have come up with if I was that plain clown back in the days, unlikely. And it means that also we understand the grind, your process, your aims, your targets, because we've almost certainly done something like that ourselves. That's regardless of being able to find people like yourself online. We've probably lived what you're doing today, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and you can come and look at that. So it's 100% real, Steve.
So let's get into it. Let's get in. We got five excellent logs that we're going to talk about. The first one is Dump Truck, and his log is called Road to Stage Testosterone Masterone HGH Cycle Log. So he started this log in February 2025. His stats at the start, 26 years old, 184 centimeters, 106 kilograms. On training days, he's eating over 3,000 calories, 230 grams of protein, 413 carb, and 55 fats. On nine training days, he's eating 2,500 calories, down to 255 protein, which is a little higher, and he's down on the carbs almost in half, down to 225, and then on fats, he raises the fats a little bit to 68. So this is a strategy that's called macro cycling. And a lot of athletes do this, especially with carbs. So specifically, he's doing a lot of carb cycling on this. So he'll drop the carbs on non-training days, and he'll increase the carbs on training days. And the carbs, that's kind of what he's using on his to fuel up his workouts. So a lot of athletes do this. We see people who are training, they'll increase their carbs on training days, and they'll decrease their carbs on non-training days. And that's just a simple way that you can use to for performance, but also you can use that as a strategy for recomposition. Yep. So I'll talk a little bit about his training routine. I'll let you in, Mobster, and a little bit about his cycle. First of all, his cycle, he starts out with 200 milligrams test, 200 milligrams Masteron, both weekly, and he's also doing five IUs of HGH per day, which is a very strong dose. His training routine, upper, lower rest, and he alternates it, and he has an incredible list of support supplements. His cardio is 12,000 steps per day, and he does 20 to 25 minutes on the Stairmaster per day. So he really has a nice strategy behind his diet, his training, and what he's trying to accomplish here. And his cycle is very, very reasonable. So, Mobster, what are your thoughts on Dump Truck?
Yeah, so the first one related, the first thing that caught my eye related to something you've already mentioned, Steve, and that's varying the macros, training days versus non-training days. Now, because Dump Truck is specifically, this log is focused on a small amount of fat loss and a health phase before beginning another push. So because of what he's doing, it makes sense. Otherwise, I've seen this before where people go, should I have more protein or should I have more calories on my training days? And I say, well, it completely depends on your target. If you're looking to gain, if you're looking to maintain muscle, I've never understood the necessity to vary. In fact, I've argued, Steve, that your rest days, your recovery days are as important as your training days. So it would come down to number one, how often he trains. Number two, the specific target that he's got in mind. We're here, it is appropriate, and so on and so forth. And then the upper lower rest day split. I mean, that's an oversimplification, but one of the things that I say to people, and I'm sure Steve Smith and I do not, by any stretch of the imagination, train the same way. And in fact, I would argue that to some degree, you and I probably do less volume than the great and vast majority of members on the forum. So one of the things I said recently is you can start out by looking at what someone does, but you must have that focus on you. So what is your genetics? What's your best muscle group? What's your worst muscle group? What your specific aims and targets are? Yeah. So for example, Steve, he does way more steps. The only time I got up to this kind of level was when I was last in a proper job. I probably hit about 17,000 a day. 12,000 is more than enough for most people. And he's doing a Stairmaster on top of that, Steve. So he's probably hitting 14, 15,000. And anybody that knows about a Stairmaster know that is an absolute grind. I looked at the list of supplements. It's too long. It's way too long. I don't know if it's an Australian thing. I think Dump Truck is Australian again. We've actually covered this in other podcasts when we say there are products that we've recommended on other shows that will cover a lot of the ground that's been done here. And in fact, some of it that Steve and I have referred to in the past is the idea of having multiple pill bottles and multiple products. I've done it. We can find photographs of Lou Ferrigno in Pumping Iron, screenshots from the movie, doing it 10, 15 bottles on his father's fireplace, bedroom fireplace, whatever the hell the photograph or the image comes from. It feels like it's too long of a list. It's not even the worst. One that we discussed in another show where he had different supplement stacks for different times of the day. So on that basis, it's actually kind of good. There's a lot of solid products on that supplement list, Steve, and I can see that someone who's using PEDs and trying to do what he's trying to do would get used from a product. But I would have that down to three, four products. I don't want to be taking 20, 30 pills every morning. The cycle's actually kind of cool. It's not crazy, Steve. 200 milligrams of test and 200 milligrams of Masteron is barely sports TRT level. I would probably have him, as you and I both recommend this, less HGH on a daily basis. One more criticism, and I do this in a positive way. I'm looking at the photo. This is literally post one. He actually says also, sorry, just relating to the cycle, titrating up and change as the push begins. In other words, the cycle will change over time. Photographs there, Steve. He's in actual posing room at what appears to be World's Gym. And this is one of those hopefully helpful things when it comes to photographs. And I've actually done a thread on this on Evolution and it should be able to find. And it comes to taking photographs of yourself in the gym. So he's in a posing room, he's got all the multiple mirrors. The phone is on the floor, the camera is on the floor. That can be useful in terms of how you look on stage. And he's got a very good physique, Steve. I can see him competing at some point if he hasn't already. But for physique photographs, have the camera at chest or nipple level or face level, because that's how most people will see you. It's how you see yourself. And it means the physique that you present is face on, as though you've gone to a photographic studio. The photographer would have the tripod and the camera set up about chest to face height. So that's how you should take a picture. If it's angled down, it can take a perception of how the physique looks away, and it's not give you an accurate representation of how you look. It is give you a representation of the angle that a judge would see you. So if you are competing, I would get you to do both kinds of photographs or just ask someone at the gym to take the pictures. You will look better. The guy's ears, I've seen someone on the forums, they've got some amazing physiques and they're holding the camera, the phone themselves. You've got a physique you're going to present on stage. You're showing thousands of people online what you look like. Shouldn't be too much of an issue. Just get someone to take a random picture of you. Or go home, take a picture with, get your partner or a friend or a buddy to take a photograph. You will look so much better. That was that. Oh, that said, Steve, and I'm looking at his very first photograph here. His side chest is fucking, it's good, absolutely good. He's got a good lat spread, and I'm seeing separation in the quads. I'm looking at him with the half view in my mind, Steve, as someone, if he's not already competed, will compete in the very, very near future. Yep. It wouldn't take much to have him show ready.
So let's go to the next one. Ben 10 is his screen name. And his log is called Test Mass Rechachatride Cutting Cycle Log. And he one of the cool things that he does is he cut down before he started this log. So it's a really smart thing to do, and he explains why. So he dropped 13 kilograms, and he started off the log at 115 kilograms. He was dealing with some shoulder injuries that he's working through. His log started in April 2025, so it's fairly young from the when we're making this podcast, but it's already have a lot of views, thousands of views already. So it's been a very big and popular one as well. So the cycle starts off with Test E, Mass Probe, the Rita, and Johan Bean. So it's a good little cutting stack that he put together where he's throwing in the Rita, which is a GLP-1. He's throwing the Yuhim, which is a more of a stimulant type of supplement. And he micro doses these compounds, and he uses these products either daily or every other day, which is something a little unique. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to kind of talk about this log as well, because we're going to be doing an episode on micro dosing in the future. So this is a strategy some people like to do. It can work. It's something that is debatable, but one of the other cool things he does is he does daily fasted cardio, and he sticks to 330 grams of protein per day, 500 grams of carbs, and he sticks to about 70 grams of fat per day. So he's pretty strong compared to Dump Truck when it comes to his macros, much stronger with the carbs and with the fat. Especially because Dump Truck was only doing 225 grams of carbs on non-training days. So this guy's going a little heavier, but he has an excellent diet and he has an excellent supplement list as well. Mobster, what are your thoughts on Ben 10?
Regular listeners and those on the forum, I have zero, and I love to be educated and all proved wrong. I think the whole microdosing thing is completely and utterly pointless. So, but that said, he's only using, I've just run the numbers while Steve was talking, it's less than 350 milligrams a week. As he says, he's on a cruise. Again, I'm not overly a fan of cruising. And again, you come onto the forums, I explain why. So dollars are too negative in that particular way. He talks about recovering from an injury here, Steve. Infraspinitis, and I'd looked that up just to be sure. It's a very common to have shoulder injuries in hard training athletes, more common again with people that are lean because you're pushing, as you say, Steve. Using TB500 and BPC to help heal this, great. He's talking about the cycle here, as you said, Steve, what's coming versus his cruise dosaging. So the actual cycle itself is not excessive. He's another one that's using one of the diabetic drugs to get into shape, the retroglutide, or retrotrutide, should I say. And we are starting to see a lot of success. Steve Smee himself using a similar product more and more. There are issues, and we will discuss those when we get into those on specific shows. Again, as Steve said, with the microdosing, we're going to cover that very, very shortly. Otherwise, it's not nothing too excessive, et cetera, et cetera. He's doing minimum 10,000 steps a day. Food, as you said again, Steve, there's no back and forth here. It's fairly consistently on a daily basis, which I touched upon with the last person. The meals are fairly straightforward and quite simple. I like the fact that there's corn and tomato in meal two, for example. It can be, it's just a piece of advice for the listeners in general. The way that bodybuilding diets are portrayed is arguably almost slightly a thing in and of itself in terms of chicken and rice, fish and rice, chicken and rice, fish and rice. And one of the things that Steve Schmee and I have talked about on the forums and on his shows is get your fucking veggies in. So having a little bit of colour, whether that's from corn or tomato, or as here, onion, varies it. gives the food a little bit of flavor, especially when it's very plain, and enables you to stick to diets when they're goddamn boring, and as they can be if they are just chicken and rice from fish and rice, and you'll get the macronutrients from those things. That's going to give you that little sense of energy. He's got mixed frozen fruit here, Steve, and which is, by the looks of it, some sort of shake, YoPro, so a yogurt, a WPI, whey protein isolate, honey. Again, fantastic. It's super healthy, lots of colour, lots of nutrients, but not being excessively calorie. So just on that stuff alone. And then I did have a quick look here, Steve, at his training as well. And I'll read out a specific line. So, because I sometimes say, if you lift more weights, you get bigger, you get stronger. That's obvious, but it's all relative. But here, we are, meaning himself, currently restricted by what movements are pain-free. So doing an upper-lower split until I'm fully healed makes perfect sense. There's no point grinding away, guys, and hurting yourself. And I love the fact that he's included this bit of information as if to say, I'll do as best I possibly can, but I'm not going to fuck myself up. That is a lesson for a lot of people right there, Steve. And in training, not crazy weights, pec deck. And this is one that just caught my eye. Pec deck, 3 times 12 reps, very slow and controlled with a big squeeze. I have actually taken, on occasion, some of the younger gym members at my local gym where I train, if I'm not training here, and literally said to them, try this exercise, kind of relax, now do it the way that you would normally do it. Now kind of imagine that you're bear hugging someone, and when you get to the top, you crash. This is just for pec deck, Steve. And then if I can get them to kind of half contract in a position, from the start position, and then fully contract at that closed chest position, the fucking fibers in your chest get woken the fuck up, and you do really, really well, and you'll get a lot of stimulus out of less weight. And that's exactly what Ben 10 is doing here. And so obviously, when it comes to anything around the shoulder joint, he's slowing things down. He is doing more of a squeeze. He's working harder on the contraction. And arguably, that's what all bodybuilders should be doing. A little bit less momentum, a little bit more contraction around the muscle, just a little bit of less weight, and you're going to be, hopefully, Steve, having less of an impact on injuries specifically around the shoulder joint, which is incredibly common. Physique-wise, and I'm just looking at the pictures here, Steve, he's got something going on there. He's wearing one of those sleeveless T-type tops in his photographs. Shoulders are popping. Veins are popping. This is not the best photograph I've ever seen, but I could still see that he's vascular. His lats are coming out from the side. He to me, would be, and especially at his height, is a little bit shorter than me, about 6 centimeters, so 2.5 inches, which makes him over 6 foot tall. He'd be quite the specimen, I think, for most people in the gym. And I would love to see what he could possibly do uninjured. I suspect he could do a lot more weight, but he might actually learn that he can stimulate muscle with just a little bit more weight, with no injury, and get that little bit more muscular, that little bit bigger, without having the new necessarily crazy weights. I would like to see a lot of younger gym goers use more poundage, more weight on the bar, more kilograms. But do it when you know how to get the most out of that repetition, the most out of that set, the most out of that exercise. And arguably, Steve, I think he's doing this because of the injury. It's actually probably made him learn how to get more out of less. So rather than do 6 or 7 exercises of the muscle, be 2 or 3 because he doesn't want to get injured, but yet getting more stimulus and maintaining the muscle, cruise as he goes into the cycle, and still stimulating muscle, still being able to maintain the muscle at the end. And the moment the injury is out of the way, if he keeps some of those protocols in place, I think he'll blow the fuck up, Steve. And I'm saying this is just looking at post one. I suspect if we look at the last post, he's already started to do exactly what I've just talked about. What do you think on that, Steve?
Yeah, good points for sure. And you could see by his log, if you guys go check out his log, you could see the kind of improvements that he's been making along the way. And he's been doing great on this log. That's why he has so many views already. And it's a pretty young log. So let's move on to the next guy. And this is Farmer Bob. And his log is called Sustanon Dukkha EQ HGH Cycle Log. This log was started in February 2025. So it was sort of a, you know, like a New Year's resolution type. He's also dealing with numerous injuries. And look, that's par for the course. At some point, as you get older, We're all going to have to deal with injuries. So this is a great one for those of you who had similar issues. He had a major procedure done, and I'll have you talk about this, Mobster, in a second. They inserted a disc screw rod into his lower back to help with a disc issue. So absolutely major, major, major situation. He likes to use DECA to help with the pain. I'll let you talk about that as well, Mobster. And he says that it helps him. His cycle is a mix of testosterone, DECA, and equipoise. And he's running the test at 500 milligrams. And he's running the EQ and DECA at 200 milligrams per week with an 18-week plan. He's also using 3 IUs of HGH, which I would imagine would help with the injuries as well. He's only 29 years old. He's 98 kilograms and he's 6'2". So Mopsar touched on his journey from what you've seen.
Let's start with the injury. Steve and I have discussed recovery type of shows. We've talked about rehabbing. We've talked about the commonality of shoulder injuries, knee injuries, elbow injuries, strains and pains. The reality of most of those situations for most people is that if you push your body hard, and especially when you're lean and you're competitive in nature, you literally do bodybuilding competitions, strongman competitions, weightlifting competitions, whatever. The risk of injury is that much higher. And some of it's just plain good old-fashioned wear and tear. I've described from my own personal experience 2016, 16 weeks of recovering from wear and tear on my lower back and laying on the floor for 8 weeks, laying on my bed for 8 weeks. I believe I was pretty much floor bound or bed bound 17, 18 hours a day. It took me an hour to do the washing up of the plates and dishes. If I went downstairs, Steve, I'd lay on the middle floor, sweating my ass off, and then go downstairs, and then was not going back upstairs for fucking 8 hours because it would kill me to go back upstairs and so on. So I get it. And I even looked at some of the surgical things that were possible and so on and so forth. I will say 100%, there's no fucking question here. The simple fact that he's had to have an interbody fusion, 3/4 inch incision under his belly button, removed his insides. That is fucking huge in and of itself. The risk of infection is huge. They literally put your guts into a tub full of sterilized fluids, whatever, and then put a titanium disc screws rods into his lower back. That is, it's up there, arguably, Steve, with the most painful thing you're ever going to have in your life. I think the closest I ever got to it was 9 years of age, having a shunt put in. I actually had a blood clot in the brain, and the shunt, I woke up screaming after the operation. This is going to be on that kind of level. It really is. It's going to be up there on a 9 or 10 on the worst fucking pain you
You
can
got
have.
shot in the head?
No, I had a blood clot in the brain, so it's from a
Oh.
head injury, and I was. You have a lot of post-surgical septums and pus, essentially. So they put a drain, a shunt into my skull that went down like a extra carotid vein in my neck and into my stomach to drain off the pus. Essentially, my body was digesting the crap rather than draw it off every single day. And the shunt, the insertion of the shunt was, and I've been bearing in mind I was 9, was I woke up screaming from the operation. That hurt me really badly for about a day or two. So God knows what they gave me when I was 9 for medication. This is up there in terms of that. If you've looked the worst back spasm you've ever had, and anybody that's had a back injury will understand this, where it's almost shooting from your spine through your ass down into your leg, the sciatic muscle, and the muscles just go into cramp, and it's just like the worst pain ever. You can bet you're standing there shaking and sweating and breathing, shallow breathing until the pain goes away, and they will give you all these different medications. So yeah, been there, seen there, done it. Here's literally having your guts put into a bowl beside you and then cutting into the back of your abdomen to get at the spine from that side and inserting nuts and bolts, same as Ronnie Coleman, is right fucking up there in terms of surgical process and then the post-surgery pain. He says here, post-surgery was hell. I couldn't even lift a plate. I did rehab, something that Steve and I talked about. I did my rehab. Literally, the number of people, because of the fucking pain, do not want to do this thing. It just hurts to do the rehab. And it hurts like a motherfucker. Women talk about giving birth, etc. We can think of some sort of classic medieval tortures. This shit feels like that. You are literally going to hurt doing the thing that's going to make you better. But if you do it, your recovery would be so much better than those that sort of try and to avoid it and just out medicate it or whatever else. And here he is. Went back to training a few months afterwards, same as myself with the 16 weeks, and ended up making a program that was focused on recovery and noticed some improvements. I was still in a bit of pain a year later, so started the research and found about the nandrolones, which I'll talk about momentarily. Look, let's just talk about this injury thing. Had arguably crazy fucked up surgery. It's a last draw, whatever you want to call it, having the nuts and bolts and the rods, etc., put in. They'd really rather not do that because you're essentially going to have mobility issues. You're dealing with ridiculous amounts of pain. And yet, he's Farmer Bob has recovered. Did his rehab, recovered, did research, and has now started to build himself an amazing physique. Steve, this is borderline inspiration. So just on that shit alone, just if you want to come on and check out this log and just say, if Farmer Bob can come back from that and build a muscular physique, it doesn't have to be a fucking Mr. Olympia, just a normal Joe recovering from crazy fucked up shit and adding muscle, that is inspiring. And it will make you, I used to post this shit on Facebook, Steve. People with no legs, no arms, etc., doing chin-ups or fucking cross-country or whatever. And what's your fucking excuse? This is one of those what's your fucking excuse kind of vlogs. Let's just deal with the nandrolone thing. And this is not a criticism. It's a hopefully scientific observation, such as these things are. The issue with nandrolones, and we're speaking specifically of DECA and MPP, is the joint relief is while you are on cycle. There is some science from a handful of studies that supports DECA increasing collagen synthesis during the use of the DECA, but not necessarily retention of that additional collagen post-cycle. So it's by reputation, as Steve Smee well knows, many listeners will know, you have a sense of well-being, and certainly if you've got aching joints, etc., taking DECA on cycle can make that pain go away. The issue then becomes if you train hard, as you hopefully are, during the cycle, you haven't cured the joint, you haven't cured the injury, and therefore post-cycle recovery, post-cycle retention of muscle tissue, etc., with the still existing injury is an issue. I suspect in Farmer Bob's case, his rehabbing, the research that he's done, the recovery from the injury, etc., 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 is as much a part of what's helped him heal as using nandrolones to help manage the pain and help perhaps with a small amount, as I say, of collagen synthesis on cycle. But it is not a cure. You can't fix what you're doing unless you literally stop doing the thing that you're doing and allow recovery and so on. But he's had Josh Lassie. It's borderline inspirational, Steve. I was like, fuck it, it is inspirational. The idea, if we was able to see the photographs or videos of the surgery that he's had, it will. I know what this shit looks like. It will blow your fucking minds, and you'd want to pin it. You would want to give this motherfucker a medal, Steve. He's right up there. So if you just want a bit of inspiration because you're feeling a bit sorry for yourself, you've had a minor tweak, you've had a little bit of pain, come and check out Farmer Bob's log and see if this motherfucker hasn't been through the grind, Steve, and come out the other side, then no one has. What do you think on that?
Yeah, definitely. And look, and that's live. A lot of these logs, guys and gals are sharing things that have happened in their life. And unfortunately, life isn't all sunshine and rainbows. There's going to be ups and downs that we have to get through. So it's all about getting through them and moving on and having happier times in the future. So hopefully, and he's really young. That's what really is tough, you know, that he's had to go through all this at a very, very young age. So he's only 29, so he's got a long, long life ahead of him. So he wants to make sure that he's able to enjoy it. And I'm a person who also had to deal with neck and back injuries, not just from my weight training, but also from my car accident I was in where someone rear-ended me. I had two rear ends where they rear-ended me. I'm sitting there at a light, and they just hit me from behind. That's a very common car accident. And what happens is when you get hit from behind, your neck jerks. So that is does your discs no favors at all. So it's really, really, really makes you appreciate when you are healthy. So let's move on. Flying Andre is the next one we're going to talk about. And his log is my Diebold to testosterone transformation cycle. He started his log back in November of 2024, put together an amazing intro to his thread. It was really fascinating to read. So if you get a chance, please go and read it. I'm going to tell you a little bit of some notes about it. Stats are 32 years old, 178 centimeters in height, 115 kilograms in weight. He's been training for 6 years, but he's been through a lot of trauma over the years, which he talks about. He went from competing in amazing shape to completely out of shape due to going through a lot of family problems, COVID, depression, and hormonal issues. And all this culminated in him getting back into lifting and getting on TRT and doing some light DECA and Dynabol. So he started to experiment with more fasting, which basically what he's doing is he's doing a lot of time-restricted eating, and he's also doing a lot of 30-hour fast, 24-hour fast. And one of the things that he mentions in his log is how much easier it was than he thought, and how much benefits he's been getting from that. So fasting is a great way to help your body recover some of these little micro injuries that are within us. Autophagy is something that you get from fasting. You've got to fast at least 20 to 22 hours minimum to start getting that really good autophagy benefits. And the autophagy benefits are your bad cells, your old cells die off, and your body will create new cells to replace them. So if you have injuries throughout your body, being able to recycle those cells is obviously going to be a wonderful thing, and it's a great way, and it's a free way to get benefits if you're dealing with a lot of injuries and a lot of issues that he's been dealing with. So he's really been really kicking ass on this, and he actually posts a bunch of pictures of what he used to look like and then of what he looked like after he went through all his issues, and he has a potential to really get back to looking fantastic because of the body memory. So it's a great log to follow, and I'm sure by the time some of you listen to this podcast down the line, you'll look back and you'll see him, and I'm sure I know that in my mind that he'll get back to the way he was at his peak when he was in his 20s.
I'm going to deal with the mental psychological side of here, Stephen. In fact, let me just read this out. I'll preface it before I make comments, good, bad, or otherwise. So he says, "To understand me, you must understand my story and my love of for the life of iron, and no, I don't want sympathy." And he also says, "We all make choices we have to live with." Right. So there's memes on this as well, Steve, and it's got to do. I think the versions I've seen, which is a women post-workout getting fatter, eating donuts. Sorry, post-relationship breakup, getting fatter, eating donuts, looking like shit. Duh, 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 and the men, and it's almost like a sort of gym meme where the guys decide to take that negative energy and they put it into the gym, and they look amazing 6 months down the road. There's even an element of arguably, "Fuck you, bitch! Look at me now. You're missing out." Right, so. He posts a bunch of stuff here, Steve, and I'm going to touch on this because we could talk about the training, being out of shape, and so on and so forth. We could talk about his PEDs, but here's the thing: and I think Steve and I are both mature enough that we kind of understand where we come from and a little bit about our lives up to the point where we do these shows. It gives us an advantage to be able to talk in that way because we are old enough to have experienced a certain amount of life. So. Have we been through relationships that ended well? Yes. What about ones that ended badly? Yes. Has that fucked us up mentally? Oh God, yes, Steve. 3 months relationship that I just bought a house with this person, had my head stuck up my ass for 3 months, arguably probably the best part of a fucking year before I was completely clear of the whole fog, etc., that came with that relationship. I've discussed on the forums 2011. Part of my reason for moving to Wales is because I had my head firmly stuck up my ass. It was nothing to do with relationship, just sort of midlife crisis kind of bullshit. Right. So he has been, arguably, Steve, in some ways, through the ringer, relationships, on and off antidepressant medication, which can, in and of itself, make you get fat anyway, Steve. That's just the medication itself. Never mind not being quite with it as you might normally be. So here's an element that I do like, and I kind of touched on it when I talked about the gym memes. And so this is the positive again. we will have probably 10 to 15% of the members on the forum talk about how they, especially in America, Steve, because it's more common, people being on depression medication. You've got people that use recreational drugs that can sometimes fuck with your head. Shitty relationships, like I've discussed. Crappy jobs. Life being what it is. Someone dies and so on and so forth. And sometimes, to use a turn of phrase, that really will throw a spanner in the works. So those things that help you deal with it, those things that get you back on the straight and narrow, those things that allow you to have a sense of control over your life can include going to the fucking gym. And here's the thing, all right? It gets you out of the house. You might say hi to a few gym bros, which is always going to be positive. No one's down there pointing at your belly or your head or saying, what's the matter with you, motherfucker? They'll be like, one more rep. Then almost sometimes the gym bro's not interested in your bullshit, in your life, in your depression or wherever else. And because they're ignoring this and just wanting you to do well in the gym, same as we do on the forums, that can be fantastic. Literally, as Steve said, the positive, look at you dropping 10% body fat. Look at you getting into shape. Look at you adding 5 kilos, 11 pounds to the bar on bench press. Motherfuckers kicking ass. And they don't necessarily know every element of your life, but here he's actually putting it out there for you to look at. There's a sense of control. You get, I go to the gym, I improve, I add muscle. My waist gets smaller. I lose body fat. I am in control of what I am doing. And that element of control then goes over to other aspects. I'm not going to let that thing that's pissed me off, that's fucked me up, I'm not going to let it fuck me up anymore. I'm going to take control of my life. And what do we see sometimes, Steve? These transformations could be so amazing. They get into the relationship, and that's not because they've got a six-pack, but because they're confident, because they're positive, because they come off medications. We see this a lot, actually, with people who've come off medications and reduced it because their self-image has become that much better, just in their own mind. And it doesn't have to be broader shoulders or a tiny waist. It can just be going to the gym 4 times a week, getting your daily steps in, and so on and so forth, Steve. So talk a little bit about that from your perspective as well, just to see the way that transformations can not just physically change people's lives, but also give them a different outlook on life.
It's a domino effect. You see these people that are homeless. I don't know if you have homeless people in Britain, probably not that many, mobster, but in America, we have a ton. And what happens is people just start spiraling out of control. And what I do is I'll carry around some food and some drinks with me. And when I see the homeless people on the side of the road, I'll stop the car, at a light. And I'll say, hey, you want something to eat? You want something to drink? And they'll be like, yeah, yes, thank you. And I'll hand it to them. But these aren't bad people. But these are people that their life just spiraled out of control. And it's a domino effect. Maybe they have some mental issues. Maybe, like you said, they went through a breakup. They got homeless. They lost their home. They can't afford rent. And it's sad, that they go through this. So you get into that domino effect of negativity. And you go down that rabbit hole, and it can happen to anybody. I've been homeless myself. Many years ago, I was in my mid to late 20s. I lost my house, so I was homeless myself. So it's very tough, and it can happen in life. So one of the things you got to do is when you hit that rock bottom point, you got to think to yourself, well, things can only get better from here. So you just got to build yourself back slowly, and take it one step at a time. And, if you can get some help from your family, if you can get some help from your friends, if you can get help even from the government, anything, you need to, seek out help. That's the first step. A lot of people, this is why a lot of males are homeless, is because they're too proud, they're too egotistical, they're too macho to seek out help. And it's amazing in some situations where it could come down to simply getting on a specific drug for your depression that can help you get yourself out of that depression, where you can start feeling better mentally, and that will change your entire life around. There was a movie with Will Smith where he was homeless with a child, and he had hit rock bottom, and he basically, they made a movie about it. It was based on a true story where he got his life turned around. I can't remember the name.
Is that the one where he lends his boss $5 and it's probably his last $5 in his pocket, and the boss says thank you, and gets the boss's attention and he ends up making a success of
Yeah.
himself. I think I know. I haven't
Yeah,
watched the
yeah.
film, but I've seen that scene. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean there's all kinds of things in life that are going to happen, all kinds of ups and downs. So this is a great example. What Flying Andre is doing here is he's
Yes.
using the log to kind of motivate himself to get things back in order, and the positivity that's being
Yeah.
injected every day
Yes.
into his life is what you need. And a lot of times that's all you need, Mobster, is just that positivity to come back in your life. And then good things will start happening slowly but surely, in your life. So always, always have that mentality. And that's what doing the log is going to help you do. So let's get to the next guy. And this is the last guy we're going to talk about. His name is K Cates, Cates. And his log is called First Log TRT. He's using terzepatide, which is similar to the Rita, the retatrutide. And it's called First Log TRT, terzepatide, 2-testosterone Anavar. And he's the prototypical American, ex-military, served jail time, which he talks about. He ended up with a dad bod in his 40s. And
Yes.
in America, it's very, very common to see the dad bod, the pregnant gut, the big gut, the fat, the beer belly, as a lot of people call it. He's now 49 years old, and he started the log 3 months ago to get himself back on track. So he started out at 5'9", 242 pounds, estimated body fat, which I'm going by his picture, is about 25 to 30%, maybe a little higher. He's also a type 2 diabetic, which you actually asked him about that, Mobster, and
Is or was, yes, we'll get to that, yeah.
his goal primarily, of course, is to lose body fat slowly without sacrificing his strength. So that's very, very important. His steroids of choice are moderate amount of testosterone along with 50 milligrams a day of Anavar, and he plans on staying TRT for life at 200 milligrams a week. One of the things I also saw that he talked about is he recently hit a new low in body weight of 233 pounds, which is great. So far, he's down
9 pounds, yeah.
9 pounds. So that's some amazing progress so far. And the key is he's losing the 9 pounds, but he's also keeping his muscle and strength. So that's very, very important. You don't want to lose a bunch of weight at once and then lose your strength in his situation. Although, in my opinion, those of you who are in KK's situation, you need to think about your health first. So losing weight has got to be the most important thing, even if it means losing some strength. But the whole reason we use these PEDs is to allow us to pull off these types of recompositions where we actually hold muscle, hold strength, and lose body fat at the same time. So that's one of the things that you can, those of you out there who are in KK's situation, which I, like I said, is a prototypical middle-aged male in America, especially if you go to the South or the Midwest. Noah's gonna hate me for saying that, but it is true. Most people in the South and Midwest, it's more rural, it's more uneducated, there's more working class people, and those types of people just don't care as much about their health as people in the Northeast or people on the West Coast. Like if you live in Southern California, you're in shorts and sandals year round and no shirt year round, and you're surfing and you're on the beach. Of course, you're going to care about how you look. But if you're in the Midwest, and you're wearing coats all the time and sweaters because it's cold, if you're in Minnesota, you're not going to care so much about what you look like. So you tend to not keep your health to where it should be. So in his situation, it's going to be interesting to see, Mobster, where he goes from here. One of the things I would like to see is if he manages to lose the weight.
Sorry, I've got a lot to say on this particular subject. So the
Go ahead,
obesity
yeah.
crisis, which we've touched upon on other shows and on the forums, is worldwide and arguably is very much a world, sorry, first world issue. So America, lots of Europe, not everywhere in Europe, but a lot of Europe, Germany, France, to a lesser degree, the closer to the Mediterranean you are, the better the lifestyle. The further away you are, Nordic countries, UK especially, but especially America and to some degree Canada. I'll be crude here, Steve. We got way too many fat bastards and way too many people that are borderline. And I say that because it's statistically true. Type 2 diabetics. Type 1 is I need insulin. Type 2 tends to be medicated, but without insulin. And to be perfectly honest, Steve, about 80 to 90%. I think it's close to 90% of type 2 diabetics. It's because you've got a shitty diet and a shitty lifestyle. Pretty much like Steve said, covered up, don't give a fuck about how you look. And let's be honest, it's diet fixable and lifestyle fixable. And if, in fact, in the majority of cases here in the UK and to some degree in America, I believe it's probably going to be the same. Doing daily steps, eating better, what a fucking miracle. Now you're not type 2 diabetic. What a miracle. Now you're not on medication. So let's look at Kay Cates. Kay Cates has taken control of this shit. He says, I started working out September 23rd, meaning 2024, Steve, due to my primary care, meaning his doctor, his MD, his GP, as we say here, put me on Mounjaro, which would be a type 2 medication, for diabetes. He told me, he's got a great fucking doctor here, Steve. He told me I needed to go to the gym. I thought he was going to tell me to do cardio, but I was surprised when he said I need to strength train. I told him I can do that, and so on and so forth. Boom. What's he done? He's taken fucking control of the shitty situation. Life, as we just discussed with the previous log, and diet, and not daily steps, and just stuff that you're doing. Poor food choices in the supermarket, way too many restaurant meals that Steve's touched upon on other shows, and so on and so forth. Just and literally taking control of that and following his doctor's advice, which is great, because way too many people, oh, the doctor says I need more exercise, Steve. I'm going to get a second opinion. Oh, the second doctor said the same. I'll get a third. It's like almost a joke. And yet those people that do the things that the doctor told him to do, go and get some exercise. I love how his doctor specifically told him to strength train. Cardio is something you just do on a daily basis with your daily steps, Steve. You don't have to be running or jogging or using the Stairmaster or whatever else. It can literally just be prodding around and not using your car as often. Just going out for a walk with the missus and the dog rather than sitting watching TV. And just that little bit of extra activity, just a few thousand extra steps a day, can make a difference. But strength training will really fucking put that stuff into overdrive. There's an argument for strength training that says something along the lines of your metabolism is stimulated by some degree for up to 4 hours. So listen, Steve, I love the fact that he's strength training. I like the fact that he's got some big numbers in his weights, etc. And I like the fact that he's followed his doctor's advice, taken control. He'd be a great example, not just to people that lift weights, bodybuild, etc., but just the average Joe that wants to get into shape. Let's talk about a little bit here, Steve, at Europharma. So why do we recommend companies like Europharma? Every single log that we've described is using some kind of either medication or specifically what we call PEDs, performance-enhancing drugs. And so I'll let Steve talk about why we want companies like Europharmacies to why they're approved and why we recommend companies like that for people like this so that their success is that much better.
Yeah, and a lot of these guys who are doing the logs on our forum, they are using Europharma. And Europharma is a trusted brand. I saw a post today about someone who used a different source and they were complaining that they got fake HGH. There was another guy who said that he got fake Primo.
Yep.
Imagine going
out of one of those, yeah.
10 to 12 weeks, you're using Primo, and you're like, what's going on here? I'm not seeing what I mean. Is it me? What's going on here? Well, it's not me. It's not you. It's the brand you're using. It's a bad brand that you're using. It's fake. It's underdosed.
Yep.
So Europharma, you don't have to worry about that. When you use Europharma, their stuff has been sent off and tested anonymously. We know that their stuff is legitimate.
You can come and check it.
They have excellent service. They have several different reps, at least 2-3 reps on the forum. Even one of the reps, he had to go in for surgery. So they have 2 other reps who are chipping in to take his place while he is gone. That's great service. So they always are there to answer your questions. They always have stuff in stock. They have stuff that they're bringing in. Always, they always have some excellent products, both on cycle, off cycle, all the stuff that we talked about today, the Mounjaro, the Tirzepatide, these products that they have are fantastic. They have the excellent oral steroids, injectable steroids, all the compounds that we talked about that these guys are running on their logs. A lot of them are using Europharma, and they are a top 3, top 4 brand in the world for a reason. So you can trust when you're using their products, you're getting the real stuff. So, Mobster, finish out a couple minutes with your farming experiences.
Yeah, I let me just refer to one of the threads from this morning, Steve. That particular person, using a source I've never heard of in my life, had brought 10 kits for $2,000. And I'm assuming that's American, not Canadian, Australian dollars. So if it's too, he's way overpaid, and he overpaid for what essentially was completely and utterly fake. So we talk about companies like Eurofarmers a lot on this podcast because we know from personal experience alone, plus the tests that Steve's mentioned, independently brought by a customer, tested with that customer's own money, not by a company, not second-hand labs, whatever else, himself paying for it personally, expecting those companies to fail, at least two or three of the 10 companies that he bought products from to fail, and they all passed, and it all within the limit that's allowable in big pharma, the percentages, the deviation in dosages and so on and so forth. They were, I think the big pharma's 5 to 10%, and these none of them were more than 3% off. And in fact, some of them were over. So we recommend companies like Eurofarmacies because not, Steve, I wouldn't have paid 2,000 fucking dollars. I'd have paid less. Get the products in sales that are way less than that. If you'd have come to a company like Eurofarmacies, he'd have probably saved $500 right off the bat. Number two, he would be able to come onto the forums, as you, the listener, can do, check out people like myself that use for Eurofarmacies, see the results I've had. Look at that independent testing. That link, that thread with that independent testing is still out there for you to search for. You can find it and you can see the t literal screenshots of the lab results from a well-respected lab and see the percentages, the numbers, the milligrams per milliliter of the products that that person had tested out of his own goddamn pocket. That's about as independent as it gets. So we rate and approve Eurofarmacies. Personally, I've used them. It's my daily go-to. It's the one that I would, for me, it's my number one. But in terms of worldwide sales, et cetera, I would agree with Steve. You're certainly top four, top five in the world. And you don't get there by scamming. You don't get there by underdosing. You don't get there by a piss poor reputation. You do that because every single day, with top customer service, like Steve said, you're out there trying to outperform your last year. And the year before that, and the year before that, and do the absolute best you can with product development, product updates, redesigns of labels, and so on and so forth, and constantly trying to be as best you possibly can on quality control and product that's being delivered. Because if you do that, you get referred to. If you do that, you build up your brand, and people will buy from you. And that's how you stay 10, 15, 20 years or more. Pushing these kind of products out across the world for people to buy, and knowing that you've affected positively tens of thousands of users with more muscle, more inches, more weight on the bar, leaner, in better shape, whereas in this case, for example, Steve, not being a type 2 diabetic anymore. So that's the reason why we want approved sources. That's the reason why we mention certain brands. And Eurofarmers is right fucking in the mix when it comes to being top quality, highly regarded. And around for the longest time to build up a reputation, the kind of reputation that they do have for the high quality, and the reason why we rate and recommend it. Please note, we are not doctors, and the opinions are ours. It is our view based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only, with the freedom of speech and the first.